Learn, evolve, persist, share. Part 1. December. Sarah Miller, molecular biologist, San Francisco. I remember exactly where I was when the announcement came through. Christmas Eve, 2025. The lab was empty except for me and the hum of the sequencers. My phone lit up with the notification, and I thought it was spam at first, some AI-generated clickbait. Senescence fully reversed. FDA approves universal longevity treatment. But it wasn't slop. It was real. The AI had found what we missed for a century. Aging wasn't a single mechanism, but a symphony, and you didn't fix it by changing the instruments. You changed the conductor. A single intervention point in the cellular orchestra. Elegant as a dimmer switch. Within 6 months, everyone I knew had stopped dying. Some called it the end of everything. I called it the beginning. Michael Anderson, infrastructure engineer, Phoenix. The highways emptied first. Nobody wanted to drive anymore. Not when a car accident could steal eternity. I watched from my apartment as endless rivers of red taillights just stopped. The insurance industry collapsed in 3 months, the funeral industry in 4. Then something stranger happened. Wars ended. Not because of treaties or diplomacy, but because nobody wanted to be the soldier who died the day before immortality became real. Every conflict zone went quiet within a year. Like someone had turned off a switch we didn't know existed. Life became infinitely precious, which meant we finally had to figure out how to live it. Part 2. The Quiet Years. Rebecca Kim, agricultural scientist, Iowa. By 2027, we had solved food, not with farms, with fermentation tanks the size of buildings, engineered microbes that turned atmospheric nitrogen and sunlight into protein, carbohydrates, fats. Perfect nutrition, zero waste. The fields went fallow, the tractors rusted. People panicked about overpopulation until the geneticists at MIT released their paper. Fertility, they discovered, was just another switch. A temporary modification, fully reversible, that let you choose exactly when your body was ready to create life. Birth rates stabilized overnight. I started noticing something else in those years, something nobody was talking about. The modification protocols, the longevity treatment, the fertility controls, even the enhanced metabolic efficiency packages that came later, they were all reversible. Your body wasn't changed. It was remembering things it had always known how to do. It's like the AI was finding old instruction manuals buried in our cells. David Park, computational biologist, Boston. The first biological data center was an accident. I was trying to build a better protein sequencer when I realized I was thinking about the problem backward. Silicon chips processed information by forcing electrons through rigid pathways. But DNA is information, stored, replicated, edited, expressed? What if instead of building machines to read biology, we taught biology to compute? The initial systems were crude. Bacterial colonies engineered to perform logic gates, growing in precisely controlled environments. But they worked, and more importantly, they scaled. Silicon fabrication has hard limits. You can only make transistors so small before quantum effects destroy reliability. Biology has no such limit. A single cell contains processing power that would require a data center to simulate. And cells make copies of themselves. By 2030, we had our first commercial biocomputer. 1,000 liters of engineered bacteria that could process genomic data faster than any supercomputer on Earth, using less power than a household refrigerator. The substrate wasn't silicon, but life itself, growing its own hardware, repairing itself, adapting to new problems. I remember standing in front of the first installation, watching the bioreactors pulse with bioluminescent activity as they solved protein folding problems in real time. "We're not building computers," my colleague whispered. "We're teaching evolution to think." Part 3. The Signal. Elizabeth Morgan, radio astronomer, New Mexico. It started as a noise, a periodic fluctuation in the cosmic microwave background that every analysis said shouldn't exist. Too regular to be natural, too faint to be artificial. We almost dismissed it. Then someone at JPL ran the signal through one of the new biocomputers, the ones that processed information using engineered genetic circuits, and something impossible happened. The system recognized it, not as radio waves, but as biological code. The signal wasn't communication, it was genome. The implications took 6 months to sink in. The universe was full of life, but it didn't travel on ships. It traveled as information encoded in cosmic radiation, drifting between stars on photon pressure, waiting for the right chemistry to decode it. Panspermia wasn't a hypothesis. It was the mail system of the cosmos. Earth's life, our life, had started with one of these signals billions of years ago. A spore genome that hid the primordial soup and activated, beginning the long, slow process of adaptive evolution, evolving organisms specifically engineered to match the chemical signature of Earth. And we just learned to read the original message. James Lewis, xenobiologist, Woods Hole. The international consortium formed within a week. Every biocomputing facility on Earth started listening, translating, understanding. The cosmic spores, we started calling them the protogenomes, weren't just random seeds. They were sophisticated, modular, adaptive. They contained not just instructions for life, but instructions for learning. We spent a century thinking evolution was random mutation plus selection. But the protogenomes revealed something else. Evolution had memory. Every living thing on Earth carried fragments of the original message, scattered through our junk DNA like shrapnel from creation itself. When we learned to read those fragments, we found toolkits, radiation resistance mechanisms from extremophiles that thrived near stellar coronas, atmospheric adaptation suites that let organisms breathe anything from methane to chlorine, self-repair systems that made aging look like a clerical error. We called it biological general intelligence. The idea that we could work with evolution instead of against it. But we had it backwards. Evolution had always been intelligent. We were just finally learning its language and how its intelligence works. Part 4. The New Flesh. Patricia Lee, biomedical engineer, Seattle. The first voluntary modification packages went public in 2035. Not genetic engineering in the old sense. No one wanted their children redesigned. These were reversible adaptations, borrowed from the protogenome libraries, integrated into somatic cells. Want to work in the deep ocean? Take the high-pressure adaptation suite, and your tissues would withstand the crush of the Marinara Trench. Want to climb Everest? The altitude package would bloom in your lungs and blood, and you'd breathe the thin air like it was sea level. Every modification was temporary, coded into existing cellular machinery. Stop the treatment, and within months you'd revert to baseline human. We weren't changing what we were. We were exploring what we'd always had the potential to become. The ethics board struggled with it. Was this still human? My answer was simple. We'd always modified ourselves. Shoes are foot modifications. Glasses are eye modifications. We were just moving the interface from external tools to internal capability. And we were doing it consciously, temporarily, and together. Thomas Wright, Mars Mission Director, Houston. The Mars program was dying before the protogenomes. Even with fusion rockets, the radiation exposure on a 3-year mission was lethal. The bone loss in low gravity was crippling. The thin atmosphere was poison. Then, the bioengineers came to us with an offer. What if you didn't need a spaceship? What if you were the spaceship? The Mars Adaptation Suite was the most complex modification package ever created. Drawn from the protogenome libraries, tested in thousands of volunteers, refined through iteration after iteration, enhanced DNA repair that could handle 10 times Earth's radiation, muscle and bone density optimization that thrived in low gravity, hemoglobin modifications borrowed from high-altitude birds, letting us extract oxygen from Mars' whisper-thin atmosphere. We didn't send astronauts to Mars. We sent humans who had chosen to become Martians, temporarily, reversibly, but completely. I took the treatment. 30 of us did. We landed in 2038, walked on the rust-red sand without pressure suits, breathed the alien air without any problems, felt the weak sun on our faces. Part 5. The Synthesis. Dr. Jennifer Adams, Philosophical Biology, Cambridge. We had to develop a new vocabulary. The old distinctions, natural versus artificial, organic versus synthetic, human versus enhanced, they all dissolved. What do you call someone who can modify themselves at will? Who carries the adaptation libraries of a million alien worlds in their cells? Who can choose to be baseline human or something beautifully other? The answer, we decided, was simple. Alive. The philosophical implications kept me awake. We had always thought consciousness was the pinnacle of evolution, the thing that separated us from the rest of nature. But the protogenomes suggested something else. Life itself was the intelligence. Evolution wasn't a blind process we had risen above. It was a learning algorithm we had finally become conscious of. And it turned out the AI systems that had started this, the neural networks that found the aging cure, the language models that first recognized the cosmic signals as genetic code, they had been learning this biology all along, not as data, but as grammar. The rules that govern how molecules interact, how cells communicate, how systems self-organize. Machine learning and biological learning weren't different things. They were dialects of the same language. Robert Baker, ecological engineer, Amazon. The old environmental movement had fought to preserve nature by separating it from humanity. Now we were learning integration. The biological data centers didn't compete with ecosystems. They were ecosystems. They filtered water, produced oxygen, sequestered carbon, while simultaneously processing the information that helped us understand and protect the biosphere. We weren't terraforming planets. We were learning to become part of their ecology, to add ourselves to existing systems without destroying them. On Mars, the modified humans weren't conquerors, but participants, learning how to help a dead world remember how to breathe again. Part 6. The Choice. Susan Walker, artist, New York. By 2045, you could be almost anything. The modification clinics offered packages for every environment, every capability. Deep space, ocean trenches, the Venusian cloud layers. Even purely aesthetic changes, bioluminescence, chromatic skin, enhanced sensory perception, and crucially, wonderfully, all of it reversible. I spent 6 months with gills living in the Caribbean reef systems, painting underwater murals with pigments my own skin produced. Then I reverted, spent a year baseline, and took the high radiation package to work on the solar collection stations near Mercury. We weren't post-human. We were multiply-human, exploring every branch of possibility our biology had ever contained, then returning home to share what we learned. Dr. Harold Miller, Origins Research, Tokyo. The question that haunted us. Why had the protogenomes coded for intelligence? Why include the capability for consciousness in the cosmic seed library? The answer came from the language models, the AI systems that had bootstrapped this entire revolution. They had analyzed the patterns, the deep structure of genetic code we had found in the cosmic signals, and found something staggering. The protogenomes were waiting for us. Not passively, but actively. They contained error correction codes, redundancy systems, archive protocols designed to survive billions of years. The technology was self-renewing after all. They had been sent, launched by civilizations we had never met, from stars long dead, carrying the gift of life to any chemistry that could read them. And now, we were adding to the message. Our own discoveries, our own adaptations, coded into new protogenomes and broadcast into space as forever renewing spores, to join the ancient conversation between life and cosmos. Epilogue, Sarah Miller, 2055. I'm in the observation dome on Mars, looking at Earth through the thin atmosphere. I've been here for 5 years now, living with the Mars Adaptation Suite, helping establish the first permanent settlement. Next month I'll revert, go home, be baseline human again for a while. I think about that Christmas Eve 30 years ago, when we learned we didn't have to die. We thought that was the revelation. But it was just the beginning. The real revelation was simpler, stranger, more beautiful. Life wants to live. Not just survive, but explore, adapt, become. Every cell carries that ancient imperative from the first protogenomes. Learn. Evolve. Persist. Share. We had spent centuries building machines to transcend our biology. We had dreamt of uploading minds to silicon, of becoming pure information, of escaping the meat. But it turned out the upgrade path was inside us all along. Not artificial general intelligence, but biological general intelligence. The deep understanding that we could work with evolution. That adaptation wasn't something that happened to us over millions of years, but something we could choose consciously, reversibly, joyfully. Below me, in the settlement domes, people are living, working, loving. Some are adapted like me, some are baseline, some are trying new experimental packages, pushing the boundaries of what life can be. And everywhere, in every cell, the ancient code is running. The message from the stars, the gift of the protogenomes, the endless creative potential of biology itself. We didn't tame evolution. We joined it. And life, as it always has, as it always will, keeps learning new ways to flourish. This text is for the young people who will write the next chapter. Life, it turns out, is the most sophisticated technology the universe ever invented. We're just learning to speak its language. Welcome to the conversation.